song because I usually don't get that kind of applause when I come walking up. It really made me feel good, you know. You know, you sing at those certain places and you don't get that kind of applause, man. Fun song, great song, what's not to love? No, I am not Mark Morton. I know you guys are all depressed. I don't think it's very fair he gave me the Sunday after Easter. You know, everybody shows up on Easter, and after Easter, everybody's like, well, you know, including Pastor Mark himself is not here, you know. Just kind of want to point that out to you guys. I am not Pastor Mark. I am not Bo, but I am the father of Bo White. I know how you guys feel about him. We're excited that they'll be coming home on furlough in June, so we're excited. If you haven't heard, we're expecting another grandbaby, Bo and Stephanie. Yes, and they are expecting another girl. So poor Hudson is all by himself still yet. So anyway, but yeah, we're excited about them and getting here. Can't wait for them. And they're excited. They're kind of wore down and tired and need a little break themselves. So they're looking forward to getting here as well. So anyway, great to be here with you guys. It really is. I want to share with you what God's laid on my heart. I want you to turn in your Bibles, your iPhones, iPads to Joshua chapter 1. I want you to stay there with me, okay? Because there's some places we're going to also look around that text as we unpack what God has for us today. The title of this message is Moses is Dead. And you're going to understand that a little bit more as we go on down the road here this morning. Joshua chapter 1 verses 6 through 9 is where we're going to start. And as you're turning to that, let me explain something to you. I know it's custom and tradition to stand and honor the Word. I'm not disrespecting the Word, but I'm going to be sharing something different and then go into another passage. So I'm not going to ask you guys, stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down. Is it all okay with you guys this morning? But it's just something that God has laid on my heart. So just remain right where you're at, but stay with me in the Word of God. So I want to find out this morning how many liars we have in church, okay? Thank you. I didn't even get to the question yet, Hope, and you're already... I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. Okay. Listen, because I want to tell you, sometimes we're not very honest about our relationships with God. And I want to talk to you about fear. Boy, our world is filled with fear today, isn't it? Last Easter, Sri Lanka, hundreds killed. What does terrorists want to do? They're wanting to terrorize us. They want us to walk around in fear and create fear. In Southern California yesterday at the synagogue, there was more murders. Once again, people dealing in fear. And don't you understand that these people that deal in fear, whoever they may be, and I want to tell you, they come in all shapes, sizes, creeds, colors, religions. They're all out there. But I want to tell you, every one of them works for the chief of all fear, and that's Satan himself. Because Satan loves to have his people in fear. There's some here today, and I don't know every person that is sitting here today, that I want to tell you that you've known for some time that you need to make a commitment for Jesus Christ. You listen to those songs and you're going, I believe in that. I believe in Jesus that he died on the cross. But Satan has allowed fear to stop you from taking that step out. You're scared to death to walk, as they used to say in the tent revivals, that sawdust trail. You know why they put sawdust down? It kept the dust from coming up. But that sawdust trail that today you're like, man, I know I should. I used to call that the invitational grip that people have. And boy, man, I'm telling you, during that invitation time, you grip the back of that pew and you're like, I'm not going to go. Why? Because you're fearful. And what happens so often is you're saying, I'm fearful what people will think of me. I'm fearful that they'll know that I have weaknesses. Listen, folks, you're not going to surprise us. All of us are saved by grace. We're all wicked sinners in desperate need of salvation, right? Now, so hang with me today. Some people that sit there and you know that you need to take that next step and surrender for baptism, and that's been bothering you. You've heard Pastor Mark, or perhaps you've even watched somebody else go through baptism and you told yourself, you know what, that's something I need to do. That's something that God would have me to do. Because God says, confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. But yet you've allowed fear to stop you. You're afraid of, well, that may look foolish. And I think that's a cop-out. Can I just be honest? Here's a truthful, transparent kind of thing, cop-out. I think it's a cop-out in many ways because I'm going to tell you, as a parent, I used to go to all of my kids' sporting events. And I want to tell you something. I was not ashamed to let the world know which number was my child. And especially, I was not ashamed to let the refs know I didn't agree with them when they threw a flag on my child. And if somebody didn't like it, here's my response. Move down. Because they're my child and I love them. Folks, how many times did you go, okay, I got one for you. Ladies, don't you lie in church. Wait till next week when Mark's back, okay? But not today, okay? Deidre would go to our kids' things, you know, and especially when they were in little VBS things and all that other kind of, and they had all those motions. Remember in VBS? You know, they look like they're singing Walk Like an Egyptian without walking like an Egyptian, you know? They're just doing all those little signs and stuff. And there's Deidre in the background. Yes, you moms all do it, don't you? And she's like lip syncing with the kids. You know, did she care if somebody thought she looked? No, we don't care. Because what would she say? Move down if you don't like it, you know? Isn't that what she would do? Okay, so fear grips us. And we need to deal with fear. And before we fight fear, understand that God created us in this wonderful way that He gave us emotions. Because I want to tell you, not all fear is bad. The Bible says, fear God and live. So not all fear is bad. We are creatures. We have emotions and we cry. And you know what? It's okay to cry. And it's okay to laugh, even in church, folks. It's okay that we have these emotions. God created us this way because that's the way that we can have a relationship. If we were all stone cold, no emotions, how could we ever experience the love of Jesus Christ? And so in this text today, I want to talk about fear because I believe Satan wants to do everything to grip you, to keep you from giving your life to Jesus, from following Jesus in what He's called us to do, from sharing your faith with someone else, for stepping up in leadership as God. Or sometimes we get so confident in what we think we're able to do that we forget that it's not about us, but about Jesus Christ that's in us. So what was going on in the text? Let me give you some background. Maybe you're not familiar with this story. Maybe you are familiar with the story. But at this point is right after they had left out of captivity with Egypt, the children of Israel. They were supposed to go into the promised land and claim it. They saw giants. They sent 12 spies in there because they were Baptist and we can never take God's word, right? Isn't that how it usually goes? So they sent 12 spies in there. Two of them came back, Joshua, which you're going to hear about today, and Caleb said, we can take them. We got this. The other 10 said, no, we can't. There's giants. And what happened? Because of their sin, God says, you will remain in the wilderness for another 40 years. That generation has died off. And now God is speaking to Joshua. But I want you to hear what he says to him. I want you, as we read through this text, I want you to listen to the Lord's instructions and the words, do not fear, be strong and courageous. How many times in a few verses, we're going to just read verses 6 through 9, that God tells Joshua, don't fear, be strong and courageous. So let's begin at verse 6, okay? He says, be strong and courageous, for you will, for I will distribute the land I swore to the fathers and give them as an inheritance. Above all, here it comes, folks, once again, be strong and very courageous to carefully observe the whole instructions my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left so that you have success wherever you go. This book of instructions must not depart from your mouth. You are to recite it day and night so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed wherever you, whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you? Once again, what does he say, guys? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, here's my question. Can we just pick this apart a little bit? What was going on so drastic that God himself had to speak to Joshua and tell him? Now, we're talking about Joshua. Joshua was known as a fighter. He was known as a brave man. He was known as a general. What was going on, ladies and gentlemen? Can you think about that with me for a moment? What had happened? What was taking place that made God come to Joshua and speak to him and say, be courageous? Well, if we want to understand what was going on, because nothing had really changed. Was God still providing for the children of Israel in the wilderness? Yes, they were. Still feeding them, still water. Remember, he provided manna from heaven. He provided water from a rock. Whatever they needed, God provided. Did they have any enemies that were chasing them at this time? No, God had already dealt with the Egyptians. There was no armies that were coming after him. Why would they care? They were out in the wilderness. Nobody wanted that real estate. So they said, whatever, stay out in the wilderness. So they didn't have any of that problem. What happened? Well, let's start at verse 1 of Joshua. Moses died. You got it. See, I like it when a crowd is a little ahead of me, because I'm one of those slow preachers, and I need other groups just to say a little fast. You know what I'm saying? All right, let's look at this. The only difference was one thing. The leader of the nation died. Look at verse 1. And after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, who had served Moses. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land I am giving the Israelites. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised Moses. Your territory will be from the wilderness and Lebanon to the great Euphrates River, all the land of the Hittites and the west of the Mediterranean Sea. Now listen to verse 5, guys. Now this one I would mark. This one I would memorize, this verse, as a believer in Jesus Christ. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or forsake you. Isn't that beautiful, guys? Let's pray. Father, it is such a joy to be here. I love these people. Lord, I love this pastor. He is my dearest friend. I pray for him. I pray for him to have some rest today, Lord. I pray for him to have some good family time, safe traveling, mercies home. Just take care of my buddy. But Lord, right now, I just want to come and exalt you. I want to lift you up. Lord, our world is filled with fear, and our churches are filled with fear. And why do we fear? Lord, when we have you, why do we tremble when we're asked to do something? Lord, why do we tremble and fearful of showing people how much we need you, God? Would you just speak to us this morning, Lord? In your name I pray, amen. What a text, wouldn't you agree? A powerful text. So I ask a question for you this morning. I'm going to ask it several different times in several different ways. But what is your fear today? Don't answer out loud, and don't answer to somebody next to you, because you'll lie, because we're never honest about our own fears, right? Come on. There are some things I'm afraid of that I probably never tell you, because I don't want to admit that I have that fear. There's others, sure, I'll be happy to share with you. But you know what I'm talking about. See, sometimes I believe that we reject and refuse God because we're fearful of what it means to get right with God. It might mean that we have to admit we're wrong. And ooh, does anybody else in this room struggle with admitting you're wrong? Oh, man. See, at least I got one young man that's honest. Bill, I want a tablet and I want you taking names, okay? That's what we're going to do. Man, pride gets in the way, does it not? But here we see Joshua. And so my other question for you is, what is making you doubt the Lord today? Oh, and I've had Christians run to me and say, oh, I've never doubted. Really? Because if you never doubted, then you'd never struggle stepping out on faith. I wished after 30 some years of ministry, I could tell you I've never doubted. So what was Joshua so afraid of? Yes, Moses was dead. He was the leader of the Israelites. He had learned so much from him. What was he afraid of? Was it the giants over there in the promised land? No, because he was one of the two that came back and said, we can take those boys. Now, that's my paraphrase, okay? But that's basically what he was saying. He says, that belongs to us. Let's go. He said that 40 years ago, so he wasn't afraid of that. He wasn't afraid of how to get over there, even though he had a vast river of Jordan to cross. If he was, he sure didn't show it because he said, let's go 40 years before this. So what was it that created this fear? And I want you to listen extremely careful, because when you really look at the text and when you read everything that's part of this package here, listen, his fear was is that he was thrust in leadership. That was his fear. His fear was within himself. Because like Moses, when Moses, before he went to go and deliver the people from Egypt, if you remember, he says, Lord, who am I to go, basically? Who should I go? I can't do this. What is Joshua saying? Lord, I'm not Moses. I can't do this. Most of you have a fear in your life, and I guarantee you a root of all of it is the fear within yourself. If I was to ask you, and we will be asking you soon at the end of this message, to come and make a commitment to Jesus Christ, many of you are going to say, I'm just not able to do it. It's fear within yourself. You're going to say about baptism, I cannot do it. I'm fearful. Listen, I baptized a lady that was fearful of water. She almost drowned at a very young age. And she gives her life to Jesus Christ. She wants to be baptized. She says, I'm going to do this. But she was one of these ladies, Hope, that wore the fake fingernails. Now, no offense if you got them on. I like them. They're all right, girls, okay? But they're not all right when you're fearful of water with a preacher trying to put you underwater. It's like trying to baptize a cat. You know? If you got a cat, go home, take it in the tub, and try it. Just let me know how it works for you. I have scars that can match. So all of a sudden, I was the kind of baptism that we had where you stand behind, there's a little plastic stool there that they set on, and then they lock their toes underneath, so if you do them, they're not like a duck and their feet come up. You know what I'm saying? And that happened a few times. This is really, then you're trying to do the lay them out kind of thing. I got this, you know. Lock your toes. So she has a hold of my arm, and she has her other hand here, and she plugs her own nose, and I pull her back, and I said, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son! And she dug those claws into this, and when I came up, I'm not lying, Deidre's here, she knows the truth. Blood was dripping into the water as I was clawed. I was grateful it was the last baptism. Could you imagine the next person going, are you kidding me? I'm washed by the blood of Jesus, not Kathy, you know. But it was the last one. Well, get up. She's bawling. She goes, I'm just so happy. I'm just so happy. But I am sad that I clawed you, Pastor. And I was bandaging my arm. I said, it's all right. I said, why are you crying? She goes, because I'm happy. I said, okay, good. Listen, we can all use that excuse. I'm fearful. But where does it come a time that we hear the words of the Lord this morning? Do not fear, be strong and courageous, Christians. How many of us have fear within ourselves when Pastor Jared or someone else comes to us and says, hey, I would like you to help me in this ministry. And you're saying, oh, I could never do that. See, where's your fear? Within yourself. That's where the fear was for Joshua. It was within himself. He was looking at what he was able to do, not what God can do through him. Folks, we've got to get to the place not asking what am I capable of doing, but at what is God capable of doing in me? We've got to get to the point that it's no longer about what you think you can do. We can do nothing compared to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We desperately need God. We need churches that no longer think, well, what can we accomplish? Nothing. What can Jesus Christ accomplish is what we want to look at. So there's three things that I want to share with you today as we look at this in three simple points, okay? The first one comes from the first phrase I want to share with is, be strong and do not fear. We see that in verses 6, 7, and 8. Now, I don't know. Now, some may disagree. Some of you guys are grander theologians than I am. But let me tell you, it's all right. It's my sermon, so just go with it, okay? But I'm under the firm belief that when God wants to make a point, He says something more than once. So in three short verses, in 6, 7, and 9, He says the same phrase, don't fear, be strong, and be courageous. Do you think He's trying to make His point to Josh? Yeah. Come on, that's like your mama using your middle name. What did that mean when she used your middle name? You're in trouble, Joel. That's what that meant. You don't want her to use it twice. No. Kevin Kent White, you get in here. I didn't think it was time for cinnamon rolls and milk, okay? When I heard my middle name. It was serious. God is serious here about Joshua. He wants to uplift you and encourage you as well. What's your fear in serving God today? What is Satan using? Have you ever noticed? And Satan whispers those things in your ears, doesn't he? Man, you step out and you try, man. I remember churches I began to pastor and I'd hear those little whispers in my ear. You can't do this, Kevin. You can't do this. It wasn't until the point I got saying, you're right, I can't. Boy, then Satan loses. Bible says, agree with your adversary, agree with him. You're right, I can't, but watch Jesus. Watch what he can do here. More than ever, I believe the churches of America and Christians today need to hear these words, be strong and do not fear. Now, let me put a little asterisk by this, because that promise is not for everyone. That promise is only for those who follow Jesus Christ. So we're not able to say, well, wait a minute, I'm going to be strong and be courageous. But if you don't have a relationship with Christ, man, that's not going to work. I'd be like my children coming up and going, hey, you don't mess with me, or my dad, Mark Morton, is big guy with a gun and he's a police officer, are going to come after you. That wouldn't work. It's not their dad whatsoever. See, you need to make Jesus Christ your dad, your heavenly father. You got to make him your savior before you can receive this promise. It's not offered to everyone out there. In society today, people use the word Christianity very lightly, don't they? There's even churches that call themselves Christian that they're far away from being Christian. You cannot have Christianity without Christ. However, in Deuteronomy, if we really want to understand why Joshua was having such a problem, was because of who Moses was. We read over in Deuteronomy chapter 34 that they literally mourned for 30 days. Wow, that's a funeral, isn't it? I've been to some long ones, but not one for 30 days. And now Joshua was the leader to lead God's people into this new land. Talk about a transition and change. Oh, there's that word, isn't it? Change. Come on, say it with me. Change. We fear change, and don't tell me you don't. Everybody has some kind of change that it scares them. Everybody. We're all creatures of habit. If I hid your socks today, some of you would freak out tomorrow morning when you woke up. Because they have to go on before your Cheerios. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I put my socks on, then I eat my Cheerios. We're creatures of habits in such a way. I don't know if you eat Cheerios or not, but you know what I'm saying, right? We're all creatures of habit. I challenge you one day just to think about all the things that you do that's routine and change. And in churches, change bothers us. And there was a change. There was a different leader. They were going in a different direction. They weren't going to stay in the wilderness anymore. And this was panic in Joshua going, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't want to be that guy. So do you think Joshua had reasons to be afraid in himself? You better believe it. Let me give you some reasons. One, well, let's do this. I want you to look with me. I told you to keep your finger there. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 34, and we're going to start at verse 10, the last three verses of Deuteronomy 34. Okay, everybody there with me? Let's just read some of the words that were written about Moses after he died. No prophet has arisen again in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Stop there and think about that. Do you know how scary it must have been for Joshua to come in and went, there's never going to be anybody like Moses. Oh, and then the next thing that they said was what? Who knew God face to face. Up until this time, Joshua or anyone else had not been face to face with God. Only Moses had. So that elevated him really high. Joshua had just been a general. Moses was the spiritual leader. Well, let's continue on to what they said about Moses. He was unparalleled for all the signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do against the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all of his officials and to all of his land. And for all the mighty acts and power and terrifying deeds that Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. They had seen a man who raised his arms and the Red Sea was parted. They watched the plagues that hit Egypt. They had seen a death angel come through and kill all of the firstborn that were not covered by the blood on the doorpost. You don't think that didn't set into their psyche? And if they were not part of that generation, they had heard about it day in and day out and day in and day out. So why did Joshua have a reason to be afraid? Number one, he was following Moses, the greatest man of faith of that time. I'd be a little fearful. Joshua didn't have a rod that turned into a snake, did he? Moses was the greatest leader. He led them out of Egypt. Which, can I just point something out for you? We're running on time here, but can I just point something out? Have you ever noticed after somebody passes, it's only the grand things that we remember about them? Notice that nothing was written here that, and at this particular time, we didn't like Moses. You know, they murmured against Moses too, you know. Always going to these churches, they go, oh, Pastor so-and-so, he was just all time my favorite. I just loved him. But they won't tell me. But there was this one time I really didn't like him, and we had roast preacher for lunch that day, you know. They don't tell me it was... Because that happens, right? All right. Moses was the greatest prophet. He had brought the Ten Commandments. Told that there'd be no prophet like him. So why would Joshua be afraid? Can I say this in one simple statement? And Joshua wasn't Moses. But I'm not Moses, God. Some of you today are holding back going, I know they're asking me to lead, but I'm never going to be a Wes Fletcher. Well, praise God. One in this world is enough. We can't handle any more Wes Fletchers, okay? Break that mold, please. Well, I can't be a Kevin Wong. We don't want another one of those. Understand, God, listen to me, people, please. God wants you. It's not what you think you need to be. It's what God wants to create you to be. Joshua had his eyes on the wrong thing, didn't he? Second observation, verse 8. He's told, observe everything. Now that's not easy. Because we like to only observe the Word of God, the parts we like, not the parts we don't like. Am I the only one in this room that feels that way sometimes? Have you ever read a certain passage and you went, oh man, I got to confess that now. That happens to me. There are certain books I read, Christian books I read, I just shut it and go, man, I wish I wouldn't have read that one. Because now I have no excuse. In Deuteronomy, we read that Moses was a man who's seen God face to face. Now Joshua truly needed to see him face to face. But what did Joshua face from all around him? He faced that he wasn't Moses. The people wanted Moses. We find that later out in the story, but you're not Moses. And folks, when somebody comes up to you and say, but you're not, go, yeah, you're right. But Jesus loves me. This I know for the Bible. There's this whole song about that, guys. He loves me and He loves you. And I'm not called to be somebody else. Man, I'll tell you, Hope, when I first started preaching, your dad, he and I talked about this actually. When I first started preaching, man, I started just emulating and imitating other pastors, you know. Man, I'd start preaching like my dad at one time. I mean, if I would have been in the right era, I would have bought white suede shoes, you know, to be like, you know, Criswell and Billy Graham and all those others. But luckily I had style and I wouldn't buy those things. They were just too ugly. And I remember I tried to do this, and I remember one time I even tried, oh man, Jared, I went through a period I wouldn't use any sense of humor, you know, because some of the guys I knew just had, and how many people knew Don Ledbetter here? You know Don Ledbetter, yeah. So Don Ledbetter, I remember when I was like 5 or 6 years old, I was trying to figure out how to pray, and if you've ever heard Don Ledbetter pray, he never prays, he says, "Dear Lord, I want to thank you." So I'm at the dinner table one time, and I'm like in third grade. And Dad says, "Why don't you ask the blessing on the food?" And I went, "Dear Lord, we're really grateful for the food that you have provided for us." Folks, I want to tell you, we don't need to imitate somebody. I am who I am through Jesus Christ. I must just observe everything that He's taught me and allow it in my life. And it's okay for Kevin White to be Kevin White. And there shouldn't be anything that's fearful in my life. The greatest fear Joshua has, the greatest fear you have is within yourself of what you think you're able to accomplish. And it must stop for the church to rise up in a bold way, not an obnoxious way. Now, there's obnoxious Christians out there. He didn't tell Joshua, be obnoxious. He told Joshua, be strong and courageous. For there's nothing my God cannot do. And if I'm observing everything He says, then that means I'm in the will of Him. See, it's not about me being bold, throwing my weight around, being pushy or bossy, which a lot of Christians fall into that trap. "Oh, have you know I've been a Christian longer than..." You know, I've heard it all, guys. No, that's not what Jesus Christ wants us to do. What else did He have to fear? He had a vast river they had to cross. He had people that were afraid. You ever tried to lead a fearful people? He had enemies that hated Him. And in fact, we're told later on in the story that Jericho was preparing for them. And what did He have to deal with? He wasn't Moses. Now, God was calling Joshua not to be confident in what he could do, but confident in what God would do. Joshua was now face to face with nothing other than struggles and impossibilities, and he saw that he could not be the solution. What Joshua needed to see was not Moses' death, but God's life that he had prepared. Listen, over the years, Christians and their churches have become confident and secure in what we believe we're able to do, and we need to repent and be confident in God. Granite Hills Baptist Church, listen to me and listen well. I don't care what we think as a church we can do. What I want to know is, what does God want to do with His church? And it may look impossible, like crossing the River Jordan, like seeing the walls of Jericho. You see, some of them were fearful that we do this. Men are going to die in war and battle when we fight against those in Jericho. But can I remind you the end of the story? Not one Israelite died. They marched around for 7 days. They blew trumpets at the end. They shattered jars and shouted glory to God. And what happened? The walls fell down. Now, if you would have sat in a church business meeting and discussed that, most of them wouldn't have believed. "I don't think we ought to approve that, Pastor. That's just too far-fetched for us. Therefore, we all vote nay." Come on. Am I right a little bit? I know I'm making jest about it. That's why God doesn't tell us what He's going to do. He wants us to trust in what He's going to do. Because if we knew everything He was going to do, we'd go like a bunch of old horses. Nay, you know. Right? Am I lying here, guys? So God says, you know what? It's none of your business. Just trust me. And you know what? That drives us humans crazy. All right, last point. Unlike some preachers that say last point and then keep going, I am not one. However, I can change, and this sermon could go. Ooh, 3 o'clock looks pretty good for me, guys. How about you guys? All right, last point. Verse 9. God is with you. Those words in this text stuck out to me. God is with you. Isn't that really all that Joshua needed to hear? Can I paraphrase how Kevin would paraphrase? I got this, Joshua. I got this. Just calming those fears. No wonder Joshua at the end of this book says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Because he had heard this from God. Joshua was probably wrestling, what do I have going for me? And God was, you're you and I love you. What could I possibly have to offer? Some of you are saying that here. What do I have to offer? Your love. That's all. How am I possibly going to be able to lead as Moses? Because it wasn't Moses leading the people, it was God through Moses leading the people. That's the same struggle we wrestle with today. Wouldn't you agree with me? How did Joshua... let me rephrase that. So what did Joshua have going for him? Yeah. Can I add one more thing? He wasn't Moses. Moses' day was done. Now don't tell me your day's done, because let me tell you how you'll know when your day's done. You won't be here. You will be in heaven. So I don't care your age, I don't care how young, I don't care how old. If God wants to use you, let him use you. Moses was dead. God couldn't use him anymore. If you haven't noticed, dead leaders lead nowhere. Okay? You can follow them, but you're going to end up in one place called a graveyard. But he needed Joshua, the general, to lead the people he loved to the promised land. He was there. So what did Joshua have going for him? Let me just share these things. One, Joshua was the chosen leader. It is not for you to choose what God will do in your life. It is for you to choose to trust God with that. Number two, Joshua was where God wanted him, in the wilderness, leading his people. Listen, we can't always be where we think we ought to be or where we want to be. We just need to be in the will of God. It's no secret. I've been asked many times, concern for my children. Are you worried about them overseas and serving in the mission field? And I will tell you, there's been a couple of tense moments that Deidre and I are going, ooh, man. But in all honesty, the safest place my children will be is in the will of God. Are you in the will of God? Number three, Joshua was doing what God wanted him to do, lead his people. As long as we're doing what God wants us to do, then it's okay. I think it's four. Joshua went to God first. There's one neat thing about this story that I noticed. Because so many of us Christians, when we're wrestling about things and we're dealing with fear, we run to someone else. And even good intentions, even with Christians, sometimes we can get bad advice. Where did he run? He ran to God first. The last thing that Joshua had going for it, Joshua had God on his side. Woo. Let me read to you, as Annie comes to the piano, the last verse that I read to you earlier, verse 5, says, "No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses." Who was he worried about who had just died? Moses. That's God's way of saying, hey, I was with him. I'm going to be with you. And then the last part of this, I will not leave you or forsake you. A similar command, a similar instruction of what Jesus gave the disciples. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So why is fear ruling your life today? What are you so afraid of? What could possibly keep you from walking the sawdust trail? Why could possibly keep you from trusting God? I'm going to ask Pastor Jared to come up here. I want to pray for you, and we're going to take this time of invitation. We're going to take this time of responding to God. But guys, I'm just done letting fear rule. God has that plan. He has that plan for your life. Whatever you need, man, if you're dealing with a fear in your life, I encourage you to come pray with Pastor Jared. Pray at the front altar here, whatever. If there's something, if you need to surrender for baptism, if, man, I'm afraid of being a part of a church because I've been hurt. Why are you letting fear rule your life when we have the God that we have? Be strong. Fear not. Be strong and courageous. For he loves you and he's your God.